Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So, what began as a temporary solution during the pandemic has now become a long-term reality for many. But to what degree does remote working affect productivity, employee well-being, company culture, and indeed the future of the workplace? Joining me, and all I might stress remotely, are Aidan O'Shea. He's the co-founder and CEO of Autonomy. Aidan, you're very welcome. Cortalene McCann, Operations Manager at Grow Remote, also joins us, as does Dee Coakley, a co-founder and CEO of Boundless. Aidan, I might start with you at Autonomy. Tell us a little bit about it, about what you do. As I understand it, you provide customer support on a bespoke basis for individual companies. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Bobby. We're an outsourcing business. So, as you said, we design and build and run customer service operations for our customers. So we provide the people and the technology. And as I said, it's bespoke. Every customer has a different service, and we run that for them.
Yeah, one of the interesting things with your business, Aidan, is, and I know you were formerly the main man at VoxPro, so in terms of, I know you like to call it business process outsourcing, some would call them call centres, so it must be interesting if everybody in your business is working remotely, so they don't have other colleagues beside them, you know, helping to provide customer service on a particular technical issue or whatever it is. So do they, it must mean a completely different way of doing the business, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, it is different, obviously, because as I said, we're not in the one building. But like a lot of the processes are similar, just done differently. So it requires very good training, very good recruitment, very good communication. And just because people aren't sitting next to each other doesn't mean they're communicating all day long. You know, there are multiple different channels that we communicate through. So, yeah, it's different. But I mean, look, we set up the business with the intention of being fully remote after, as you said, I was in VoxPro and other businesses, which you could call call center, traditional call center, you know, lots of people in big buildings in the middle of big cities. And now we have what you might call a call center with no call centers.
But, yeah.
You know, as you said, in COVID, it kind of changed an awful lot of things or accelerated a lot of things really around how people work.
Yeah. So, and again, I'll just bring in our other guests now, but in summary, you've got 400 staff working on four continents, but no office.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. All right, let's talk to Cortalene McCann, Operations Manager at Grow Remote. Cortalene, you're very welcome to the programme. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Hi, Bobby. Delighted to be here this morning. So I'm the Operations Manager at Grow Remote. And at Grow Remote, we were set up before the pandemic. And so we are all about solving the problems of remote work. And that isn't just for employers and employees, but it's for communities all across Ireland and beyond, actually. And we really see that in order to unlock social and economic and environmental change, remote work really is, and hybrid work is a fundamental part of that.
Right. So you're a social enterprise, are you?
Correct, yes.
Oh, okay. And so you really then are providing training. You've trained over 1,000 managers, but you're also providing support to people looking for a job that would be a remote job, yeah?
Sure, we absolutely would, yeah. So we kind of work on both the supply and the demand side of it. So we would work with employers and we would provide training and consultancy and events, but we would also work with job seekers and provide them the skills and the resources to be able to find those remote jobs, because oftentimes they're hidden and they wouldn't be on the traditional job boards. So we provide a lot of resources and access for people to be able to find those remote jobs.
I'm told, Cortalene, that there's 10,000 remote jobs available across the EU, which seems like, do Irish people have access to all those jobs?
Yeah, this is the interesting thing. And actually, I took a number just last night, and the number I could see on LinkedIn last night was 92,000 remote roles available across the European Economic
wow.
Area. Yeah, it's huge. And actually, so what we would see, even a small percentage of those jobs in Ireland would be massive for the Irish economy. And the problem that we that people find is that those jobs often wouldn't be on jobs.ie or and the traditional jobs boards. So oftentimes remote first companies will advertise through their own careers pages, and they'll be on LinkedIn, or they'll be on there's certain jobs boards that would be specific for remote roles. So people don't necessarily know where to come across these roles. You know, they're not on the local newspaper. They're not on.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, Cochleen, because I was trying to get my head around the data behind this, and it's actually quite confusing. If you go to irishjobs.ie, they're suggesting that remote jobs account for just 2.3% of all jobs listed in quarter four of 24. But if you go on to LinkedIn, as of January 2025, they're saying that 40% of all job listings were remote or hybrid.
Yeah, correct.
So that's a big difference, is it not?
It's a huge difference. And our data and impact person here in Grow Remote would do a lot of work on this. And like, for an example, Tynes, which would be one of Ireland's newest tech unicorns, so they operate a remote first model. They have 10 roles available in Ireland at the moment, but they're not appearing on jobs.ie. So they would be on LinkedIn, they'd be on their careers pages, but not on irishjobs.ie. And lots of other employers, remote first employers, would be the same. So the numbers, it's complicated, and you need to dig down a little bit deeper. But the roles certainly are there.
Yeah, and it's like when you get confusing data like that out there on a particular subject, you go to what you want to hear. So some may choose to use the irishjobs.ie figures. Some may choose to use LinkedIn, depending on their argument. Let's talk to Dee Coakley, the co-founder and CEO of Boundless. You're very welcome, Dee. Tell us a little bit about your business and indeed the remoteness of it.
I will indeed. Thanks so much for having me, Bobby. So Boundless is a platform that handles HR compliance, payroll and benefits for companies with internationally remote teams. So we have customers across the US, Ireland and the UK. We actually have customers in 25 countries, but mostly US, Ireland and the UK. And they're employing workers across 30 different countries. We handle that compliance for them across those countries. But we ourselves, much like Autonomy, we have always been remote first. We were founded before the pandemic back in 2019. Our own team, we have 28 people working across 11 countries. So very much remote.
Okay. And your business, then, you say that you're a multi-country employer of record. So your business is clearly aimed at companies who employ remote workers, i.e. around, I suppose, personnel and HR policies that they would differ from country to country, taxation, etc. So you'll give advice on a country-specific basis for remote workers to companies, is it, or is it to individuals?
That's it exactly, Bobby. It's to companies. So our customers are the companies, and we compliantly employ their workers on the company's behalf locally in the country where the workers are based. So, for example, a US company, if they have internationally remote roles, they may have workers in France, Germany, Australia, Canada, and we will advise that company on their obligations in terms of being a compliant employer in those countries. Those countries will be very different to most US states in terms of that company's obligations. And we will handle their payroll, file their taxes, and handle all of the benefits of those workers in those countries locally.
And Dee, what trends are you seeing in terms of Irish people? Like, are Irish people moving to Spain because the cost of living is cheaper to get a remote job? And you know, like, is that what sort of people movements are you seeing as a result of remote working?
So we see some movement. Now, we're not a mobility company, so we don't handle the movement.
Hiring
people wherever they are locally, but we certainly do see some movements. At times, when customers are contacting us, it is because they have a worker that's relocating. I'll be honest, we don't see huge numbers of Irish people relocating. We see a lot more people from the UK and a lot of Americans relocating to Europe. France and Portugal are two very, very popular destinations, and at times into Netherlands as well. Netherlands have a great tax rate for tech workers, so we do see some movement into there as well.
Okay. Back to you, Aidan, in terms of the pluses of remote working. You say you have a huge talent pool, you've got great retention, amazing productivity, less sickness, less downtime, and you say you analyse all those things. Talk to me about the analysis.
Yeah, well, I guess the nature of the work that we do for our customers, it's all done through a platform. So, you know, every day when people come to work at home, they log on to a system, they have a schedule, they get their work through that system and through the platform. So it's very measurable, right? So people, we know when people are at work, they have a schedule, and it's quite traceable and trackable, you know. So also from other data points, like recruitment is a big thing for us. Obviously, we've a lot of people. And we know from when we put up a job, I think, you know, you said earlier that there are a lot of remote first jobs out there, but there are an awful lot more people who want to work remotely than jobs available.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You see it as well with a lot of the, the return to office mandates that are out there, you know, and happening more frequently, and even working hybrid, or even if there's a chance that a company will change their policy, it creates uncertainty for people. And they, you know, it makes that employer a little less attractive to some people. Again, remote work isn't for everyone and doesn't suit everyone. But for those that it does, and that's quite a lot of people, it makes a big, big difference in their life, you know?
Yeah, very, very interesting. And does that mean then that you talked there about the measurement of performance? Like, it is, when you look at a remote employee, you do have to be very clear in what the expectation is. And that needs, I suppose, two-way clarity, that the employer needs to set out what one expects and the employee then needs to buy into those expectations.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you're spot on. That is, look, actually, that's really important in any job, being very clear on expectations. But in a remote environment, it does. And again, it's back to the profile of person. They need to be a bit of a self-starter. You need to trust that they will be able to work and stick to the rules. Like the business is called autonomy because we give people the freedom to choose where they work from. But, you know, on the other side of that, accountability is one of our main values as well, that we are very accountable to make this model work for everyone. You're accountable to your colleagues, accountable to your customers. So there are certain, I guess, best practices that people need to follow to make remote work. Like, it's not just, oh, let's move from the office to remote working and it's going to work automatically. I would say, you know, we and many others worked really, really hard around our processes, our practices, how we do things, to design and define them for remote working, because it is different, you know?
Yeah, sure. Kathleen, can I ask your views on this in terms of, you know, I suppose, monitoring productivity? As I understand it, you're against, I suppose, specific sort of spyware that sort of tracks people and monitors them intensely. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I suppose we would have an opinion of to trust, not track, but we're certainly not in the business of telling any other business how they should run their business, right? And what we do is we will support any business in making sure that they can operate remotely or hybridly in the best way for them. So we would see every business, as I just said, is totally different, but there's other things that can be done within an organization. Like, we'd have set hours for certain times of the day. And I know a lot of organizations that are remote first would do this. So I'd say between certain hours, it's essential that everybody is working or at their desks or for certain meetings. But outside of that, there's flexibility for you to be able to work at the times that suit you best. And this is all based on, so long as that the agreed outputs are being achieved, right? And so that the objectives and the KPIs that are set between you and your manager are been met. Because all of that is, we do expect a certain amount of autonomy, and that comes across, though, that starts really at the at the recruitment stage.
Okay.
And even before that, when you're creating your job spec, so that you're very clear on what's expected of people when they're going to come and work in your organization. So been very clear with that.
Katrine, I don't mean to be a negative Nelly here, but again, I've seen it firsthand. People at the hairdressers, on their laptops, you know, people, there'll always be a small percentage who'll take advantage of the, I suppose, the unmonitored situation. What do you say to that when it, you know, when employers see that kind of behaviour, we are seeing it, that there is this, we saw it in AIB only this week, there is this call back to the office because people are concerned about productivity.
Sure. And I think the research and the data would show us that actually that businesses are more profitable and have better performance remotely than they do in office. But there's always going to be the situations. There's always going to be the small number of people that are going to abuse these things. And I think that's no different than if they're working from home or working remotely than if they were in office. And I know for years working in offices and there was people that did more and people that did less. So I think there's no difference in that. But I think what's really important is that these things don't fall through the cracks, right? And so that's why things like performance management is really important and making sure that you're fully aware of what your team are doing, right? And because there certainly is a level of autonomy that needs to be given to people when they're going to work remotely or work from home. And that's then down to the management and down to the organization themselves to look after that. And these are one of the challenges, right? And it's not really simple to do, but it can be done. And you just need to be very considered and you need to be very conscious and intentional about what it is you're doing. And to make sure that these things don't happen. And if they do happen, that they're addressed as soon as possible.
Yeah. So, Katrine, just before I bring Dee in, could you talk to me about, I suppose, hybrid businesses, ones that have like 3 days in the office and two remote? Do they struggle more than a business that is totally in office or totally remote? In other words, because you've got two different scenarios.
Yeah, 100%. We would see, and we've seen the same has been for years, right? If you're set up fully remote or if you're set up fully in office, those two, they obviously have their own challenges and all the rest, right? But they are easier to do than the version. So hybrid then can, it's so vast, right? The different structures of that people can decide to settle on. So it is difficult in order to do it well, you really need to be set up as remote first. So, and what I mean by that is that even if there is people in the office and there's people that are at home, that everybody acts as if everybody's outside of the office, right? So we see there, and we've all been involved in where you're dialing into where there's 10 people sitting around a boardroom desk, right? And you're the one person that's dialing in. It's really difficult to ensure the communication is smooth and that person is involved and is as connected as everybody else in the room. So there certainly is more challenges, but there's no reason why with the proper training that these challenges can't be overcome and solved, but definitely it's more difficult.
Okay. Yeah. Last word to you, Dee. Isolation of a remote worker, is that a real challenge for both the employee and the employer?
It sure is, and it's certainly something that I worry about and focus on. And it can be difficult for workers to recognise that this is an issue for them, and even more difficult to have them come forward and talk about it. So employers with remote teams need to be very conscious of this and work towards avoiding it. How we manage that with our team, we have a number of different initiatives to try and deal and tackle with this, or rather prevent it before it arises. So we make sure that everyone is on regular Zoom meetings with their colleagues. So we have a cadence of meetings for the whole company. So every second Monday, we'll do a team all-company meeting where we will do an all-company update and bring everyone up to date on what's happening across the different functional areas of the business. And then every other week, we will have a meeting that's more social, where we bring people together to celebrate wins. People might talk others through a specific project that they're working on. We'll welcome new joiners and so on. But we do also bring people together a few times a year. So 3 times a year, we'll hold an all-company off-site where we bring everyone together somewhere in Europe, and we'll spend 3 days together focusing on projects and planning, focusing on collaborative work sessions, and giving people that time for connection. Hugely important.
Yeah, no, and good initiatives. And again, you, as you say, you proactively manage, situations that you bring your employees together. So that sounds really, really interesting. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, folks. It's a great subject of discussion, and fair play to each and every one of you innovating and trusting in this area. Aidan O'Shea, co-founder and CEO of Autonomy, you're so welcome. Cochaline McCann, operations manager at Grow Remote, and Dee Coakley, co-founder and CEO of Boundless. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.